Join the conversation
on the Cape Talk app, online and across the Cape on 567 AM.
You're with Cape Talk.
We're going to stay with something that feeds into the issue of stigma. And this time, though, we're talking about stigma around the blind and sight impaired community, and particularly around those who rely on the services of a guide dog. We've had a couple of conversations with guide dog users over the years, and inevitably we are told it is the difference between a life that is utterly reliant on the help of others and a life that enables at least some degree of independence for many sight impaired South Africans. There is definitely no understating just what a significant benefit it can be in terms of not only companionship and safety, but just in terms of their access to society and their ability to navigate the world in the way that many of us take for granted. And given that, and given the many times we've had those conversations, you would think by now that most South Africans would be a lot more mindful of the fact that guide dogs are allowed to go into places where other dogs are not. So I was very surprised to discover that this issue is not as clear-cut as we might think, and that in fact one of our blind Paralympic athletes has taken the issue to the Equality Court because of an experience that he has had, which was, I think, just the straw that broke the camel's back after a lifetime of such experiences. The athlete in question is swimmer Henry Herbst, and he has lodged a complaint with the Equality Court around the Durbanville Hills Winery, having been there to visit the restaurant several years ago now with his guide dog Stan, and being denied access into the restaurant, being told, sorry, you must sit outside and you may not use your dog to access the bathroom. He tried to reason with the management of the restaurant to explain that this was not someone trying to bring their pet for lunch. It was, in fact, a service dog. But he made no headway, and he has decided to pursue it to the courts, I think, as much on principle as for his own individual experience. How common is that experience, though, is what I'd like to get a sense of. On the line with us is Peter van Niekerk, who is the head of public relations at the SA Guide Dogs Association. Peter, lovely to have you with us. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Pip, and good afternoon to you and your listeners.
Peter, I know you yourself are a guide dog user, so you have very personal experience of the situation. How common is it for this to happen, for someone to arrive with a guide dog at a facility and be flat-out denied access?
Pip, that happens almost on a weekly or a daily basis, depending from situation and location. But it's an ongoing issue, and we really try and address this. Aggressive might not be the right term, but I mean, we need to get the public educated and also retailers specifically educated that it is actually a right of a person with visual impairment, a person with a physical impairment. And nowadays at Guide Dogs, we also train autistic dogs. And I mean, we base it on the Constitution of South Africa. We base it on PREPUDA, which is one of the acts covering us. It's also covered in the United Nations Convention, of which South Africa is one of the first signatories some years ago. So, you know, although we don't have an NDA in South Africa, we honestly try our utmost best to get the public's commitment to accept a working dog as part of society.
Peter, is it equivalent to, so to say to Henry, you can come into the restaurant, but you cannot bring your guide dog? One could argue that's like saying to a wheelchair user, well, you can come in, but you have to leave your wheelchair outside. Are the two equivalent, do you think?
I think for a wheelchair owner to leave his wheelchair outside, it makes him a lot more vulnerable and definitely a lot more targeted. But I would say there is a good synergy between those two statements. To leave your guide dog outside is going to run into other issues. I mean, a blind person or visually impaired person might still be able, with the assistance of a third party or of a white cane, but you don't go with a white cane and a dog to a restaurant because, but nevertheless, you might be able to get around, but it's undignified. And what are they going to do about the dog? You can't leave the dog outside. Are they going to take care of the dog? Are they going to stand in if that dog, which cost the association training it 100,000 rand more or less, are they going to stand in for the recovery or the replacement of that dog?
you've hit on something important here, the amount of not only funding but effort that goes into training guide dogs, Peter, because I think part of the misconception is that people expect that the guide dog might behave as their next-door neighbor's pet dog does, which is not always in the proper fashion. Quite the opposite is true. These are really highly trained animals with whom a lot of time and money has been spent to ensure that they would be undisruptive to the other guests in that scenario.
That is definitely the case. I mean, our guide dogs are trained. We run our own breeding program. We make use of imported semen from America so that we ensure that we have got good quality in our dogs, good temperaments. We put them through a training process starting at 7 weeks with a first year of puppy socializing in a normal home environment where they follow basically a program which in the under supervision and guidance of SA Guide Dogs. Completing that, they go into a stage of formal training for another about 3, 4, 5, 6 months, depending on the dog's progress, etc., whereafter they will then go and work as a guide dog, a service dog, or an autism support dog after they have undergone another 2 to 3 weeks training together with a recipient who's going to work with that dog. So a lot of training, a lot of hard work, time, effort, and a lot of money goes into the training of the dogs to ensure that we really have got a well-trained dog and not just a pet from the next-door neighbor.
Peter, Henry is taking it upon himself to take this all the way to the Equality Court. How important do you think this case is? Do you see it as a sort of a real landmark test case that could significantly change the environment for other visually disabled South Africans?
We definitely see that as a landmark case. In fact, SA Guide Dogs are busy with two other landmark cases in progress where we take two state departments also to court so that we can get basically test cases in the South African law, you know, to make sure that retailers, the public and everybody who's out there will take notice that, you know, these dogs are highly skilled, highly trained, and you will not be at risk by allowing them access to your property.
I'm interested to know, Peter, whether there's any kind of documentation that you issue to guide dog users that can help them in educating people. So if they, for example, encounter the kind of resistance that Henry did at this restaurant, have you got something that he can hand over and say, please take a look at this, please read this, please educate yourselves, by way of trying to break down the stigma?
Because of the ongoing problems that we occurred, we actually have got a statement that we nowadays issue to guide dog owners on request, and they can then use that. They also have an access card that they carry on them to identify themselves as, I'm a guide dog owner, service dog owner, whatever the case may be, and this dog had been trained by the SA Guide Dogs Association. Our training is according to the standards of the International Federation, and the other dogs we train according to standards of the another association, worldwide association, you know, so it's not just, yes, but we have got a documentation that can be presented.
Peter van Niekerk, thank you for that update. Head of Public Relations at the SA Guide Dogs Association. And if you'd like to read up more about what they do or engage with them on this topic, their website is www.guidedog.org.za.